Lamentations, written by Jeremiah. And really, it's a short book consisting of 5 chapters. Interesting book. Sad book. Really, Lamentations, it really means like a funeral dirge, which is like a poem that's read at a funeral, kind of a mournful poem. Jeremiah, tradition says that he was in the grotto, Jeremiah's grotto, which was a little like cliff right under Golgotha, comprised this poem, or this lamentation, series of poems. And it's the construction of it. Hebrew poetry is kind of interesting. Chapters 1, 2, and 4 are considered what's called, like many of the Psalms, acrostic. It's an acrostic poem. For there's 22 verses in each of the chapters, and there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And every verse starts with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet, and in order, going through the sequence of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 verses, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapters 1, 2, and 4. Chapters 3 is comprised of 66 verses. 3 times, you know, the amount of Hebrew letters in the alphabet. And interestingly, separated in little divisions of 3 verses. And every 3 verses begin with the Hebrew alphabet, going through the series of the Hebrew alphabet. 3 verses, 3 times 22, 66 verses. The last chapter, chapter 5, is also, every verse is, you know, begins with a letter, a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but it's not in order. This series of poems written by Jeremiah is, you know, a sad commentary. It's an expression of grief. In verse 2, chapter 1, he, begins Lamentations with weeping and sorrow. One place he says, I cried out loud. It's mournful, it's anguish, it's sorrowful. But using Jerusalem, the whole book is about Jerusalem's death. And in Hebrew poetry, kind of reading these poems as he witnesses and experience, you know, the experience that he had and the destruction and the decline of Jerusalem. But in verse 2, personifying Jerusalem, she weeps in the night. That word weep is really wailing, describing like a funeral service, and elegies of this funeral service, the weeping. And, you know, you go back in the Middle Eastern culture and these women, you know, they are hired to mourn at one's funeral. And this kind of poem kind of depicting this mournful sound as the siege of Jerusalem, you know, took place, and the desolation now, the aftermath, and, you know, the temple being looted of all its gold and vessels, and the decline, this record, the Lamentations. Chapter 1, we're just going to look at briefly, just to sum it up in one thought, was the decline and downfall of Jerusalem. Chapter 2, but interesting, look in verse 18 of chapter 1. In the midst of this decline, the Lord is righteous. It's, you know, the whole thing is a sad commentary. Oh, it's so terrible. And it's like a funeral. You don't go to a funeral and party. And it was mournful, the death of Jerusalem, the need, the necessity for it. But in the midst here, he comments, the Lord is righteous, bringing this judgment. And again, much like in the book of Revelation, as the angels call out during when God was pouring out his judgment, when God pours out his judgment in the future upon this planet after the rapture, the Lord is righteous. pouring out his judgment upon sin and man, sinful, rebellious man. And yet, the reality that the Lord is righteous. I like to, you know, comment. I heard Pastor Chuck say that years ago, and it just stuck with me. And every time, you know, we come to it across the scripture, I like to affirm it, because it's true. The Lord is righteous, no matter what we go through. And here, in chapter 2, really, in a thought, synopsis, God's anger with Jerusalem. He describes the condition of Jerusalem. Look at verse 13, chapter 2, and we're just going to touch on it. The condition is almost like a disease. How shall I console you? To what shall I liken you, O daughter Jerusalem? What shall I compare you with, that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is spread wide as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. Here Jeremiah describing their condition as like, you know, beyond healing. Who can heal you? And then noting the false prophets and how they, you know, as Babylon was surrounding Jerusalem, and the false prophets, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. As if things were going to be all right. And as much like today, he then follows up their condition much like a disease. They did not uncover your iniquity, not dealing with the truth of the problem. And many today, you know, they're not talking about dealing with our sin, the need for us to deal with our sin. To get right before the Lord, we have to face our sin. We have to confess our sin, uncover our sin, not cover it up, not ignore it, not deny it. The truth of a true prophet, the truth of a true child of God, the truth of one that's born again in reality, is one who deals with his sin, not covers it up. Jeremiah commenting on the false prophets that they, you know, didn't deal with the problem. Thus, there is no hope, no healing, no help. You don't have to deal with your sin, many say today, as if it doesn't exist. In chapter 3, Jeremiah's grief and hope, and he personalizes it. It's kind of in three sections, chapter 3, and we're going to look at that more closely this morning. But in the first portion of chapter 3 is a personal psalm of Jeremiah's anguish. He likens all the anguish and personalizes it. You know, how he went through the pain along with the city of Jerusalem being there, resident, the nation being judged. The second portion of chapter 3 mentions what we're going to focus on today is God's faithfulness in the midst of all this. His mercy and his compassion. And then the end of chapter 3, really a call for renewal, repentance and submission, prayer for vindication. Chapter 4, description of the siege, negative description. Chapter 5, prayer for restoration. I like the connection, you know, why are we going through Lamentations now at this time of the year? I mean, because that's where we're at in the Scripture. And, you know, Lamentations is one book of the Bible. If you look at it that way, it constitutes 1/66th of the Bible. Because there's 66 books in the Bible. We're not to, you know, wink at it and carry on. We're to look at it. But in it, writes these poems and considers the funeral service of Jerusalem, as it were, he remembers. He brings to mind. He recollects. In that way, it connects with us. I know that, you know, at the end of the year, it always brings up like a review. Now, what did we do this year? You know, and this is kind of like a sermon for the first New Year's Eve. But the truth is, we're coming towards the end. I don't know if it's because of John Lennon and the song, you know, and so this is Christmas. What have you done? What did we do this year? What have we accomplished? But it's a time of review. We always look and recollect and look back and look forward and sum up, you know, and take inventory, examine our lives. And with that in mind, you know, it connects with this time of year, this Lamentations. This morning, we're going to look closer at chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. For in the midst of this is really how even going through, no matter what we go through, and what Jeremiah went through, what the nation of Israel went through, what his people went through, the chastening, correction, being brought into captivity, the siege around Jerusalem. It's time, you know, it's interesting what Jeremiah does here in the midst of this book. Look in verse 17, chapter 3. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I said, my strength, my hope have perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. Verse 20, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Jeremiah, in the midst of, you know, this, all these funeral poems, turns and looks at the Lord. And it's good to look at the Lord. And the result of looking at the Lord brought a renewal of his faith and hope. You know, set forth here is a great principle to follow, you know, no matter what we go through, to look at the Lord. To remember. He recollects, you know, different aspects, not only the goodness of God, but his affliction. He says, you know, in verse 19 and 20, as he, you know, remembers my affliction in roaming, it's good to recollect or remember our troubles for this. You know, the world will say, forget your troubles. But here, Jeremiah, don't, you know, flush them down the toilet. They're significant. He remembers his affliction. That recollection brings balance. You know, a couple examples. We're in an exalted place. Everything's going well. We're in a mountaintop experience. The wind's at our back. Income's flowing. Nothing's going wrong. Everything's blessed. It's good to recollect the low times. In that time, it brings balance. We could get exalted. You know, is this what life is? No, it's a high point in life. Things are going well. But to recollect my affliction, my troubles, the low points in my life, it brings balance. It brings humility. I know this is temporary. And because life is up and down, God blesses. God deals with us. He corrects us. The need for perspective. To recollect while in an exalted place. Or, how about when we're down in a low place, in a time of trouble, in affliction? It's good to recollect, to remember, to call to mind the good times, what God has done, what God can do. Brings balance, brings encouragement, brings perspective. He recollects, remembers. Remembering brings balance, and remembering brings perspective, understanding the good and the bad. You know, the balance. You know, it's not all good. You know, work. You get a good job, you get a bad job. Take it all in stride. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. the Bible tells us and encourages and reminds us that, you know, no matter what we go through, God's at work, and it's all working for the good of His plan. And for us, if it's good, things seem good or seem bad, to have that balance is what recollection and remembering can do, can help. As we call to mind, I was reminded of an example. You know, road repair. Things are bad during times of construction. You think about 696 and the interchange there with I-94 all summer this year, and how inconvenient it was. Sometimes you didn't even know. Is it open, the exit? It was closed down going north. You know, you had to be rerouted. Some of the exits and overpasses, you couldn't even get back on the freeway. 11 Mile Road was closed for so long for us. What a hassle. It was a disturbance. It was a bad time for us. A bad time of road construction. But now, it's a joy. They did a good job. I drive down, you know, I'm banking in my truck. I'm banking, you know, getting on 696. I'm thinking, man, I should call these guys and tell them they did a good job. You go through this road repair, you know, shifting lanes and unlevel pavement and, you know, those narrow lanes. And, you know, and then it opens up and it's all level and it's all good. And the reflectors and the paint and everything's just right. And it's really a joy, especially on a motorcycle. Get on new, freshly paved road. Taking the good with the bad and realizing the bad is leading to the good. It's His plan. Recollecting. Bringing balance and perspective. As Jeremiah looks at the funeral service of Jerusalem. It brings balance and perspective. And on a bigger scale, it brings hope. That's how this leads. He starts to look at God and remembering God. And his hope becomes renewed, even though he's in the midst of this. You know, we think, well, yeah, he's not going through what I'm going through. What he went through was so far worse. And cast it into a dungeon, mistreated, beated, abused, left for dead in the murk, in the muck. The bottom of the cistern. How, you know, the recollection process of affliction, you know, brings balance and perspective and hope. That's what the Bible tells us as we consider. For I consider this present suffering. Realize, as Paul writes to the Romans, for I consider the present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What's yet future? Remembering, looking ahead. Maybe, you know, this is a temporary situation we're in. Paul writing, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Recollection of our affliction, remembering for balance, for perspective, brings hope. He looks at God and he remembers God, kind of like going through a process, not a checklist, but just putting your concentration back on God no matter where you're at. And he does. He puts his concentration back on God. Oh, his mercy, his love, his faithfulness. And he starts to recount who God is. As we recount who God is this morning, that's what we gather before him to worship him. And he does. Considers God's love and his mercy and his faithfulness. He's no longer looking at Jerusalem and the desolation, the trouble and the pain, but he's now focusing on the Lord. In verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. He's starting to, you know, count who God is, look at him, seek him. And as he does, you know, the realities of the truth, you know, he looks and remembers God's mercies. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. You know, it's God's mercy that we are granted salvation in the first place. You know, mercy is not getting what we deserve. If it wasn't for God's mercy, you know, I'd be dead a long time ago. I'd be wiped out a long time ago. Consider God's mercies. Remember God's mercies. And he does. You know, he starts to ponder, remember the Lord's mercies, for if it had not been for the Lord's mercies, we'd all be consumed. Every morning, he says that his mercies are made known, his compassions. As he looks at God, he remembers his mercy, he remembers his compassion. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, going through something gives him an appreciation. He's looking at, he's alive. The destruction of Jerusalem took place, and that needed to be because God chastened his people, but he's sitting there. He's alive. I mean, going through it, not being brought into captivity, survivor, brings a appreciation for things. We go through things. As Jeremiah, you know, he's recounting God's goodness, taking his thoughts off of the negative, putting them on God in verse 23, because his compassions fail not. He remembers God's compassion. Looking at God. They're new every morning. That word compassion means deep sympathy. Remembering his compassion, his mercy, that he fails not. If you look at his compassion, his mercy, that it's new every morning, it doesn't grow old. You know, he doesn't have as much mercy for me today as he did yesterday. It doesn't fail. Every morning it's fresh and alive. The Bible tells us of his mercy that it reaches to the heavens, reaches to the skies. We can face him every morning, and he's ever merciful towards us. Oh, when I consider his mercy. When I turn to him and realize he's not giving me what I deserve. It's lifting him up. It's bringing him hope. It's new every morning. It's fresh and new. His mercies, his compassion, they cease not. We think they fail not. You know, compared to us, compared to me, you know, David wrote, my strength fails, my spirit fails. I'm thinking, my vision's failing. We're getting old. We're wearing out. Our muscles are atrophying. Mine are. And time is getting us. We're aging. But his mercies, they fail not. They don't grow old. His compassions are fresh and new every day, who he is. He never changes. Love never fails. The Bible tells us his mercy and his love for us new every morning, daily, presently, currently, now. His mercy new every morning. Jeremiah remembering God's faithfulness, remembering his mercy, remembering his compassion, remembering his faithfulness. He acknowledges God's goodness. In verse 24, look, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. He starts to acknowledge God's goodness and faithfulness, who he is. Not only remembering how good he is, but he's starting to acknowledge how good he is. Realizing, coming into the realization, how good he's been to me. Changing, bringing him hope, renewing his faith in the middle of this funeral service, remembering God's acknowledging. And look at verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, acknowledging his goodness, to the soul who seeks him. He'll never disappoint you when you turn to him, when you look at him, when you pray to him. He's ever faithful to forgive us. He's ever faithful to listen to us, to hear us, to intervene. You won't be disappointed. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Verse 26, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He's acknowledging his goodness and his faithfulness, turning to him, remembering, you know, the goodness and his mercy, his love, his compassion is ever new every morning, and acknowledging his goodness, his faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, he testifies. In the scripture, the Bible tells us of his faithfulness. Turn to Timothy 2, 11 through 13. A couple of scriptures here in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Great is thy faithfulness, Jeremiah said. Paul writing to Timothy, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Great is thy faithfulness. He died, we believe in his death. His faithfulness conquers death, conquers our death. He was buried, he rose again, he's going to raise us again. Great is his faithfulness. To turn to him, to acknowledge his goodness, lifting Jeremiah up, bringing and renewing his hope. The Bible tells us, Paul writing to the Corinthians, who will confirm you to the end, that you are blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. God is faithful by whom you were called. The Bible tells us to hold fast to our confession. He is faithful. He will do it. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews. He will do it. He's able to keep us. He's able to take us. We're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be with him because of his great faithfulness. As Jeremiah acknowledges, remembers, recollects his goodness, his mercy, his compassion, his faithfulness. His hope becomes revived. See, we consider his faithfulness. The Bible tells us, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful. Great is his faithfulness to cleanse us of all sin, to forgive us, to wipe the slate clean. Great is his mercy, and his compassions are ever great, every day, every morning. So fresh, so new, not like us, not like man. We're faithless. He's faithful. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. As Jeremiah recollects his faithfulness, his hope becomes revived. You know, considering God's faithfulness, his love, and remembering his goodness. The Lord is my portion, he says. He says, my soul, therefore, I hope in him. His heart, his spirit is refreshed. It's renewed. My portion, my inheritance, God's provision, my lot. Remembering and looking at the Lord and looking at him. Remembering his mercy, his compassion. Renewing his hope. His resurrection is coming again, is our living hope. The Lord is my portion, and great is thy faithfulness. It's interesting how in the middle of this sad commentary, and it's you know, hard to get through. You start reading it. It's tough. You got to be highly alert and energetic to read this five chapters. It'll put you to sleep. It's so negative. It's like being at a funeral, listen to a negative death. And yet, in the midst there, as Jeremiah in the grotto, tradition says, looks to God, seeks God, his goodness, his love, his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. His compassions fail not. His mercy made new every morning. The goodness, acknowledging the goodness and the mercy of God, lifting us up, renewing our hope, when we look at him and who he is. No matter what we're going through, to recollect or reaffirm who he is. And to remember, if we're in a low spot, remember the high spots. A high spot, remember the low spots. Brings humility, brings perspective, brings balance. It's good as we look back at 2010 to look at him this morning. Look at his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy, his love, his compassion. Ever faithful. And he's always there for us. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, all of it. Five chapters of Lamentations. And we ask, Lord, that you download what you told us, Lord, to examine ourselves in this book and to remember you and your goodness and to acknowledge you and to remember your mercy and your compassion, your love made new every morning, who you are, Lord, and the reality of your faithfulness. We hold fast our confession. We do our end. We confess our sins. You're faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're faithful to keep us to the end, to present us faultless before the Father. And Lord, we ask that you plant your word in our hearts that we may not sin against you, and cleanse us and refresh us and renew our hope, Lord. Forgetting those things that are behind, looking forward, pressing forward, reaching forward to the things that are ahead. We commit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.